here we are, fourth quarter 2016. You know what that means? That means that we're getting closer and closer to the mutual fund capital gains distribution season. It's coming up fast. Now, there are exceptions, but the vast majority of mutual funds make their capital gains distributions in the month of December. Oh, yeah, there's one here, one there that'll do it in other months, October, November, whatever. But the most capital gains distributions occur in the month of December. And, you know, the cost basis and the capital gains treatment on mutual funds, for those that are new to the game or have never really taken the time to understand it, it can be a little bit complex. And one of the reasons for that is when you, in a taxable account, we're speaking here, when you receive a distribution from your mutual fund, that distribution, of course, is taxable, whether it be investment income, whether it be long-term capital gain, short-term capital gain. That distribution, of course, in a taxable account is taxable in the year it is distributed, or declared, I should say, the year it is ex-dividend is what we're saying. However, even though that is the case, a lot of this has different types of treatment. For example, a long-term capital gain distribution is subject to much lower taxation, for example, if you're in the top bracket, than a short-term capital gain distribution or an investment income distribution. Now, an investment income distribution may also get preferential treatment if it includes qualified dividends, but short-term capital gains are taxed as ordinary income. That's a big deal, because that means that, for example, if you live in a state with a 10% state income tax, that's on top of the 43.4% top federal bracket, which includes the unaffordable health care tax, which was placed on top of the other taxes recently. So in the top bracket, you have 39.6, you have 3.8 for the Unaffordable Care Act, and now you have, let's say if you have 10% at the state level, you're in the 50s right now, you're in the 50s already. Before you spend any of the money that's left over, you've already paid over 50% tax on what you made on a short-term capital gain or on interest income, for example, taxable interest income. So these things really add up over time. And it's good to have an understanding that a lot of these distributions are made in December. Now, if you'd like to get an idea or an estimate, you can call your mutual fund and ask them, please, do you have an estimate of the distributions you'll be making at year-end defined as December? Because that can give you an indication of what's coming down the road. Now, this is especially true now, because the S&P 500 has more than tripled in value in the past 7.5 years. That is a gargantuan increase in value and has created enormous profits for stock market investors. Imagine the S&P 500 has more than tripled in the past 7.5 years. And that's the reason you may see capital gains distributions in December, for example, coming from your mutual funds. Now, if you are using the 4% guideline that we've talked about for a withdrawal rate, if you're in the withdrawal area, if you're doing that, then certainly you should count the money that is flowing in, the cash flow that is being distributed by your funds, as part of that 4%. Now, if you get more than 4%, you're always free to reinvest that money. But what the heck? It's taxable anyway. This is money coming in. You certainly want to, if you can, in the ideal world, in the perfect world, you want to use the income from your portfolio to meet your withdrawal needs. So if you're fortunate enough, including capital gains distributions, to get 4%, there you are. You have your cash flow for your 4% withdrawal program for a given year. And that would be the sum of the investment income, which would be the interest and dividends paid by the holdings in the fund, plus short-term capital gains, plus long-term capital gains, if any. So you take all of those cash flow figures and the distributions, count them toward your, obviously, count them toward your 4% withdrawal figure. And so this is good stuff, good to understand as well, especially while we are heading toward that season of capital gains distributions and year-end distributions. And once again, if you'd like to get a handle on that, you might be able to do it earlier than December by calling your mutual fund and asking them for an estimate of what they have in mind for distributions. Let's get out to Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome to Money Talk.
Thank you for taking my call, Bob. I was wondering, during the last debate, they kept mentioning what carried interest is, and I was wondering, and I'll hang up, if you could explain what it is, give an example, and then give your expert opinion on which side you're on. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Well, of course, I've expressed my view on this on a number of occasions, and it has not changed. The carried interest loophole has to do with money managers who are in the investment management business. Typically, these are hedge funders. Think of them primarily as hedge funders. But there are others in this category. Although I think that most of the money has really rewarded the hedge fund managers. And what happens is, if they have a holding in their fund that is a long-term capital gain, and they realize that gain, then the most they have to pay at the federal level is 23.8%. The 23.8% consists of the top 20% capital gains tax on net long-term capital gains, plus the 3.8% healthcare tax that has been added on to the long-term capital gains tax. So at the federal level, that's 23.8%. Now, these people are money managers. They are fund managers, for the most part, hedge fund managers. This is how they make their money. And most people have to pay, at the top bracket, they have to pay 43.4% on the money they earn at work. 43.4% currently consists of the 39.6% top rate plus the 3.8% healthcare tax add-on. That gets us to a 43.4% top rate. Now, who pays that top rate? Well, let's take the CEO of a Fortune 500 company that makes a big salary. At the top bracket, he's paying federal 43.4%. Well, let's take a hedge fund manager. At the top bracket, he or she is paying 23.8%. Why? Because they're in the investment management business, and under the carried interest loophole, they get the right to pay only a top rate, or to pay a top rate of 23.8%, whereas the Fortune 500 manager who goes to work every day, just like the hedge fund manager goes to work every day, pays a top rate of 43.4. This is possibly the biggest loophole in the tax code. And I have, for a long time, I have been on the side that you should not give preferential treatment, tax treatment, to hedge fund managers. I cannot make any case for giving preferential treatment to hedge fund managers. Why has it lasted this long? Why have hedge fund managers gotten away with this loophole for so long? I can only think of one reason, and that is the people at the top, the people who have made the laws, are in the tank for Wall Street money, including hedge fund manager money, when it comes to contributing to their campaigns. They're in the tank for these people, and so they give it back to them as a gift in return for their campaign contributions. How many times have I said it on Money Talk for many, many years? In the USA, we have the best government money can buy. And if you don't believe that, you haven't done your homework.